Chapter 3, I'm glad for the opportunity. I tremble at the responsibility to tell you everlasting truth. That's a rare thing in these days. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I believe this statement of verily, verily is in the book of John 25 times. It means of a truth, of a truth. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. I believe this is the most important thing in this book. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He didn't come to make you shout. He didn't come for us to play music and clap our hands. That's all good. But that's a side benefit of what I'm preaching to you tonight. And I want to say to you that I've been born again. And I know I don't understand all the workings of it, nor the whys. There's some things in the mind of God about this that I don't understand. Such love for such beings. A crooked, twisted generation. I can't understand that. But having been born again, I know what it is. And I'd like to explain it to you. Most Baptists don't know what it means to be born again. So, we fake it. And many church members, Baptist church members are in the church, been baptized. They know how to say hallelujah and amen. And they know how to dress. They don't all dress right. But some of them pay their tithes and never been born again. Amen. How do you know, Brother Hanley? Because I can tell by their actions that they didn't get what I got. If you've been born again, I don't have to come to your house and beg you to go to church. If you've been born again, there's an inside teacher. Are y'all listening to me? Y'all know about being saved just hearing a lot of other Christians talk about it, the people that are saved. And we've learned how to mimic. But there's a whole lot of difference between being saved and turning over a new leaf. The old people that say, I got religion. And that's good. Some of them, that's a saying of theirs that meant they've been born again. But you getting religion don't mean a thing about getting you to heaven. Religion's a kicker. If you're saved, religion will get you to church. So I want to look you in your eye tonight and say, you must be born again. And I want to say, I think it'd be all right, Brother Hyde, that this altar is open all the time I'm preaching. And if you don't get anything else tonight, thank God for the preaching before I stood. If you don't get anything else, you better be sure when you leave this building that you either get born again or try to get born again. That's such a thing, and there's going to be such a time that you're going to try and not be able. You can want to get saved and can't get saved. Now you better listen to me. I'm crossing up some independent beliefs that we've been taught down through the years that it ain't nothing but a bunch of junk. Being born again is a supernatural happening in your heart that will change you. You don't have to say, I got saved and then I changed myself and got to doing right. No, sir. There's an inside birth of the inside man that'll change you. You'll never be the same. When I got saved, I got eternal life. And eternal life can't be lost. If it could be, it wouldn't be eternal. So I got eternal life. And then some things happened to me that morning. I went to a liberal Southern Baptist church. My dad's a good man, a saved man. And he's the finest Christian I've ever known. He had to take him a long time to write his name on a check. But he knew God. And he told me that there's more to being saved than most people knew about. And he lived the life in front of me, and I seen him in some tight times that made me, I know for sure that there's times that he prayed food in on our table or we'd have starved to death. If being born again, if you think you got saved and it didn't change you, that you had to work to act like a Christian, you didn't get what I got. There's something about you just didn't. When I first got saved, I thought I just got hell proofed. But coming back from the hillside where I got saved that morning, there's 1,000 computers went to work on the inside of me. And I began to think bad about some things I used to think good. And began to think good about some used to things, and I thought bad. And I come to the conclusion, I don't have nobody to tell me what you're supposed to do. They just said, come up here to the front. We'll have prayer with you, and you'll be all right. All we want you to do is accept Christ. It didn't mean anything to me at all. I'd done accepted him years ago because my dad and mama lived so clean and so good. I said, I accept that way of life, and that's what I want, but I wasn't born again. And I got under conviction. They called for a preacher to come. There's two of them named the same last name. And named to call a liberal, and they got the old timer. And then there's a shame to tell him they got the wrong man. And God was dealing with me when he preached to my heart. And I know God caused them to get mixed up. They didn't get the wrong man, they got the right man. You can't get saved. Now, you're going to differ with me, preacher. Just bear with me, and I'll talk to you sometime down the road and straighten you out. You can't get saved without hearing preaching. Now, you can run down the road with your little track and knock on doors all you want to, but you're going to sell them a false deal and send them to hell. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Amen.
Amen. And the old time preaching now, Holy Ghost preaching, I'm not talking about getting up here and reading 3 points in a poem. I'm talking about sin-killing old-time gospel that'll get a man under conviction and make him know he's lost and doomed. You hear this old wore-out preacher? If there's an easier way for you to get right, I'd tell you about it. But I'm going to tell you, you'll go through troubles and trials in your soul before you'll ever get born again. Whoa! I'm glad I know that much. I'm glad, thank God, it's going to take some grit and guts in you to lay aside. There's such a thing as repentance. I remember trying to get saved. If y'all use other terms, that'll be all right, but I know what happened to me. I was trying to get saved. And I was praying. You're never going to get saved, but Jesus, I believe in you. I'm here, I am you, lucky God, and I'm ready to get in. So I went in the pasture fields. It was my job to go get the cows, drive them up, begin to milk them. I'd pray. I watered down. I was under what we call conviction. You can call it what you want to. Morning. And y'all excuse me, I don't want to make no trouble, but every church ought to have a mourner's bench. Every sinner ought to know there's a place in the house of God that's for them.
Right.
Now hear me. I'll preach a little and I'll quit if God will let me. I don't want you mad at me, but I want you to get saved. I want you to have what I got. But one morning before I woke up, I had a dream, and I think it's a vision, really. Me and a friend of mine got to the pearly gates, and they let him in, and there's a voice said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And I got up and put on my overalls. I think it's all, didn't have any shoes on, no shirt, I don't think. It's about time for me to go get the cows, and I went down. Got down to the head of a gully underneath a persimmon tree and fell down on my knees and said, "God, live or die, sink or swim. If I stay down here and starve to death, I'm not going back to the house until I get you inside of me, and I trust you, and I'll take anything you got from me."
Yeah.
When I come to myself, I was shouting. I didn't even believe in it before I went down there. My family didn't believe in it either. But I come back, I was doing it.
Yeah.
I was a new person.
Amen.
Now listen to me, and I'll preach to you a few minutes and quit, but I'm going to tell you, if you ain't been born again, you're going to hell. You can join every independent Baptist church in the country and give up your cigarettes and pay your tithes and keep your hair cut just right and do all them good things. But if you ain't been born again, I'm talking about a supernatural happening that comes from heaven above. I've been in a lot of Baptist church, independent Baptist, that's what I am. But that they made more commotion over somebody giving up their cigarettes than they did about being lost. There's a There's an inward man in here. Y'all are looking at the outward man, the physical man. But there's a man, was a man in here, and he's dead. He had no movement about him at all. Now pay attention to me. I can back all this up by the book. But one day the gospel come out over that pulpit and touch that inward man and bring him a conscious enough that he realized he is lost and going to hell.
Amen.
And there's a desire put in me to get born again. And the morning, the blessed morning, down underneath that persimmon tree, that inward man became alive.
Amen.
Amen. And it wasn't me shouting, it was him shouting out inside of me. Amen. And he changed me. That inward man began to talk. I said, well, I'll talk like I always talk. And that inward man said, no, you won't. I thought, well, I ain't going to church every Sunday. And the inward man said, oh, yes, you will. And I'll make you like it. And I got to sitting in the, I told him the other night, I got to sitting on the front porch on an old straight back chair with my feet propped up against a porch post reading the Bible. I was doing it before I got saved. And I was reading the Bible. I didn't get saved until I was about 1951. And amazing how that the Lord would read it with me. And he straightened me out over the things in the book that I've been taught and haven't been taught, and he straightened me out. Y'all ever help God to help you read?
Amen.
And I was reading, and I was doing better than the Greek professors. I was doing good, because I know what it takes to get saved, and they don't.
Amen.
And I know it's right to go to God's house. And did you know the devil wants you to go to church? He really tickles him to death to go to church. He likes you to go to church if he can pick the church.
Amen.
And he'll go where you'll be indoctrinated in false junk. But you quit that and head down here to this house of God right here, one of these men, house of God, where they'll preach the Bible and stomp sin and talk to you about adultery and ungodly living and look you right in the eye and say you're going to hell and you've never been saved. If your heart still loves that stuff, amen, that's where you need to take your youngins. And God touched. And I said, well, I'll still listen to Tennessee, Ernie, and all that kind of, but Ernest Tubb, and all of them kind of people. I'll listen. And the inside man said, no, he won't.
Amen.
And I began to love Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.
Amen.
And thanking God, I slipped off by myself. I thought the only one God doing something with me wasn't doing somebody else, but everybody gets saved, have to get saved like I did.
That's right.
Y'all looking at me. If you get saved, you have to get saved just like I did. You may act different after you get it, but you're going to go through the same process. You must be. This whole business, this business right here we're in tonight, is for the salvation of mankind. This whole book is for men and women, boys and girls, to be born again. If we miss that, we've missed everything. Somebody said, we're going over yonder to the Third Baptist Church. They have the best singing in the country, and the preacher's educated. He's been to the seminary, knows Hebrew and Greek. And I said, how does he deal with a sinner? I don't care. If a man in the pulpit, all he can do is do what a lawyer could do,
right.
That ain't no good. He's got to have a calling, a saving and a calling, and a desire for God, and don't care what you and the deacon board and the choir leader and all the women in the church think, but he'll preach hellfire and brimstone and tell sinners they need to get right. Woo! Yeah. There's a coming of morning of judgment. And oh, they'll line up and say, hey, we've done great things. My church had 27 missionaries and we trained them and sent them out and said to pass out cars and get people to accept Christ and go to them Billy Graham kind of crusades. And all of that does is make them people think they got born again. And you can't, when you go out to deal with them, absolutely they don't know. They'll say, I've done all that. And you can't hardly, but I'll tell you what, if they get preached under conviction, thank God, they'll know they heard from heaven. Now, some of you are not saved. And you're hiding it. You think you're going to make it. But you see, it ain't up to us. You might fool us. If I was your pastor, you wouldn't fool me long. Try to testify and can't. You think your preacher don't know that? All you can talk about, I was up next to Chicago. One of them churches, and I heard this goings on in my life. They're talking about having wrecks and pulling teeth and all that kind of, how God is helping them with arthritis and all that kind of junk, and hooping and hollering about their dogs and their cats. And while I'm on that, thank God that people think more of cats today and dogs than they do most sinners. You're leading around, as the preacher said, a little Fifi, and spending more money on her than you would one of your youngins. Amen. Thank God you hear me tonight. You must be born again. Must be born again. And this book's going to hold true. And I want you to get saved. I want you to have something you know about. I'm talking about when I got saved, when God brought that inward man alive in me. He said to me, I read it in the book. I believe it's still in there in John. He that is in you is greater than he is in the world. And I said, me? And he said, you. And I know it's not what Brother Van Giller said or Brother Larry Neal said. I know inside of me that I've been born again. And I don't lose out between revivals and say, well, maybe I ain't. Devil is jumping on me. I know what it costs heaven. And I know when I prayed through from this world that morning, and the Holy Ghost came down from heaven, and God and Jesus and all the Trinity came and took up abode in my heart. Amen. And they're living in there tonight, happy, happy as Hanley. Woo! Well, you think you've been saved? What kind of music do you like? What kind of books do you like? That new man, he's peculiar. He don't like cussing. He don't like vulgar talk. You get into that junk out yonder and then claim you know God. I know different. When God saved you, He didn't just fireproof you. He did something in you that made you hate wickedness.
Amen.
Do you hate? You see, that new nature took on and made you, if you're born again, made you hate evil. I don't care how you voted, Republican or Democrat, ain't going to make you go to heaven or hell. But I'm going to say 99% of all them in Washington tonight's going to hell. That's the biggest bunch of liars that I've ever seen or heard tell of. Amen. And I want to tell you something tonight. I guess Donald Trump, I wouldn't give a dime for his hope of heaven, but at least he's trying to help America. Y'all can shake your head at me if you want to. And I'm going to tell you, vote for some of that junk on either side, don't make any difference, and you're doing a wicked thing. And I'm going to tell you tonight, God help America. I believe we're going down the drain. I don't believe there's enough righteousness in Washington to hold a steering wheel. Are you hearing me tonight? But I'm going to tell you, if we could have a revival, wouldn't it be something if half the senators would get saved? It'd be turmoil in Washington tomorrow like you've never seen or heard of.
Amen.
If you really got born again, you'll vote against liquor in your town. Amen. If you got born again, the preacher ain't going to have to run around and make sure that the dress is long enough and make sure your hair's the rest right. There's that little man inside say, uh-oh! I preached yesterday, and I made some of them mad, I guess, but I wept while I preached, and I preached on suffer little children. And I got a make-believe little boy and set him on the mourner's bench. And I said, this is my little boy. And I nicknamed him Knucklehead. Say, little knucklehead, I love you, but I want to tell you something this morning. Here you are, just a few months old, but I want to tell you something. You listen to me now. This right here is a Bible. B-I-B-L-E. And I'm going to tell you this every day until you get to where you can say it. I got a little great-grandson, and the first word he learned to say was wah-wah, meaning water. And Mama said, you know, wah-wah, honey? I said, quit saying that. That's if he wants water.
Amen.
Are y'all listening to me? Are you getting that?
Yeah.
Helen Keller is the first woman, first word she ever said was water. Water. That's right, ain't it? And she was blind and deaf, wasn't she? And she learned to talk. And this little old child, he can learn to talk too and talk right. And teach him to say, one of the first words I want him to say after he says Papa, I want him to say Jesus, Jesus. And then I'm going to teach him, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the B-I-B-L-E tells me so. And I said, stand up here, son. I said, I'm going to learn him to talk, and then I'm going to learn him to walk. It's what the Holy Spirit will do. And I say, me and you, knucklehead, I want you to just now, just pay attention to me. We're going over yonder to that door. Me and you's going to walk over there to that door. And I don't want you to pay no attention to anybody. That's your goal, is that door right there. That's your goal. You'll get saved, your goal's going to be heaven. I'm talking to you now. Look up here at me. We're going to that door. And ain't nobody, if any of these men talk to you while I'm taking you over, pay no attention to him, we're going to that door. And as we go to that door, there's going to, just stand right still, buddy. We're going to that door, there'll be things that you'll bump into and people will bother you. Pay no attention to it. We're going to that door. And I've got it inside of my heart. I'm going to make it to heaven. I don't have to try to get there. I'm a-going. But there's a lot of bothersome things along the way. But I ain't going to pay no attention to them. Thank you, buddy. I love you. I said, knucklehead, I love you. But you treat ladies right. I said, now, I know you don't understand this, son. But you'll understand it because I'm going to keep telling you and keep telling you. I got a son who's in his 40s. He lives with us now. And marriage is, but when he comes in to where I'm at, he'll say, "Sir, how are you this morning?" Wonder if he learned that on his own. And the most important thing for little knucklehead, my buddy, my loving grandson, he come in yesterday, I guess it was, and there's a young girl up there babysitting her, and he brought her in, and he's just pulling her into where I was at, and he said, "My papa, I could have kissed him all over." Amen. And I'm going to tell you, getting born again, a Methodist Christian gentleman out of you.
Amen.
I said, little knucklehead, always loved the preacher. If he gets 2 or 3 years old, I'm still going to spell the Bible and say it's a Bible. Got 66 books in it. And I'm going to keep teaching him that. I want to say gospel music is the right music. Everything else is out of hell. It teaches you adultery and sin. Ain't that right? Great God, yes. I told my bunch yesterday, I believe it was yesterday I told them about this. I was at Brother Van Giller's house. And Brother Van Giller, excuse me. And I'm watching things, you know. I'm a people watcher. I was watching things. And Brother Van Giller was having them boys put their socks on, getting them ready for church. I was just sitting there. And he said, "Now look here. When you put that sock on and the seam goes across them toes and that seam is sticking up, you got them on wrong side out." I said, "Amen." And if you can teach them that, you can teach them Jesus loves me. And it's wrong. It's never right to do wrong. Amen. Listen to me, Mom and Daddy. If you want them to get born again, act born again in front of them. My wife said, "I don't know whether they liked that or not." I said, "Well, if they didn't, I really do hate it. I do that. That really hurts me. Not because it's going to change me any, but if they didn't take it, I thought they was in better shape than that." But whether they did or not, it's my duty and responsibility to tell them the truth.
Amen.
Amen. I was at a camp meeting. A man preached in the morning, was going to lunch. I didn't know anything about him, but I was watching him. And you come around me and I'm watching you. I'm studying. I'm going to figure you out. And before I ever speak to you about know if you're for wolf or not. And I noticed, I was way back on her. I noticed he was walking straight, going to the fellowship hall, and he had a big old kind of a cowboy hat on, really didn't look like a cowboy. But every lady he'd meet, he'd say, "Ma'am, ma'am." And I said, "I like that. That looks like a Christian gentleman to me. Are y'all hearing me? There's such a thing as being a man that acts like a Christian man, that don't laugh at wicked things and honors ladies that are ladies." Well, I'm about done, but I want to tell you that being born again is the greatest thing that a man or woman ever did to you. Old Raymond Cook took some kind of medicine and it hung in his esophagus and he is strangling to death and is going to rush him out. He's 93 years old and is going to take him to the hospital. That boy of his is saying, "Come on, Daddy, let's get out of here, Daddy. You're smothering to death." And he's trying to swallow and couldn't. And he got to the door, right to the door. He'd been there for I don't know how many years. He's 93 years old. And he said, "Wait, wait." And they stopped and he looked back at his congregation and said, "Don't nobody go to hell." and went to the hospital and died. If I don't ever speak to you again, if I kick out of here before tomorrow morning, you remember that I told you in my last message, you must be born again. A little old, well, I'm sorry, God, and signed a card, and somebody came to my door. Forget all of that and get born again. Now, I want to ask you about this, and I want us to sing a hymn of invitation tonight. Sir, if you'll come to the piano. Maybe somebody here that's lost, he's just going to play. If you're a daddy or a mom and you're saved, your children's not right. I've had the girls and boys in my church, me trying to preach every Sunday, slip through our hands and go out them doors and gain in years and die and go to hell. But I want an echo in their heart down the road somewhere that an old man of God told them that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. If you're here and you want to get saved, everybody stand, please.